The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Tia Mowry Loves Herself. The actress, mother, and beloved twin describes how the end of her marriage forced her to be alone for the first time and sparked an appreciation for her own company. At 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, I'm on the phone with Tia Mowry, listening to her sing the lyrics to Mariah Carey's Butterfly. Spread your wings and prepare to fly, she croons, before recalling how she cried while blasting the 1997 single on the drive home from her best friend's house on October 4th, 2022, the day she publicly announced her split from ex-husband Corey Hardrick. Butterflies are my thing, Mowry, 46, continues. I have a tattoo of a butterfly, and whenever I see one, wherever I am in the world, I always think I am where I am supposed to be. Still, it was a process for her to realize that being a single co-parent to son Cree, 13, and daughter Cairo, 6, was the destination for her union to Hardrick. Mowry met the actor when she was just 20 years old. The two were together for a total of 22 years, 14 of which they spent married. It was only when Mowry began to have a better relationship with herself, she says, that she was able to make the difficult decision to walk away from her marriage and to do so with a feeling of peace. There are situations in life where a lot of women may not think that they have the choice that they do, and it starts with going on this journey of understanding who you are, understanding your traumas, your behaviors, and loving on that inner child. She says, once you start to do the inner work, then you'll get this aha moment, and you'll look up and say, wait a minute, I have a choice to live the life that I want to. Mowry has spent most of her life in the public eye. She became a celebrity at the age of 15, thanks to the success of the ABC sitcom Sister, Sister, which she starred in alongside her twin Tamara Mowry Housley. Since that time, she has maintained a healthy balance of privacy and transparency with the media and her fans, opening up in recent years about everything from postpartum depression to the realities of getting older. I remember the first time I became vulnerable in my career, Mowry recalls. That was when I came out with my book, Whole New You, How Real Food Transforms Your Life for a Healthier, More Gorgeous You, a cookbook. I shared my endometriosis journey. I remember being in New York, sitting down with publications, and I was so nervous and scared. But I learned from that moment that sharing your vulnerability is what connects you to people. Mowry's divorce was finalized in April of 2023, and she immediately let followers in on her experiences as a newly single woman. On TikTok, she poked fun at dating for the first time in her 40s, and she launched the 8-part docuseries, Tia Mowry, My Next Act, which premiered on WeTV this past October. In the series, she chronicled her life post-separation. Divorce is very common, Mowry says, of choosing to share this chapter so publicly. It's something that a lot of people experience but don't talk about because there's an embarrassment behind it and there are so many other negative feelings around it. I am not saying that divorce is great because it sucks, but it's a part of our life. It's not something that we all can run away from. Her choice not to mimic her favorite insect, the caterpillar, which retreats into a cocoon until it transitions into a beautiful, colorful being, has attracted some critique. On social media, people began picking apart scenes from her and her ex's 2017 appearance on the OWN series Black Love, which ended in 2022, looking for cues as to what went wrong and placing ill-informed blame on either side. Mowry was also accused of thirst trapping when photos of her smiling and wearing a bathing suit on vacation didn't match public expectations of a downtrodden divorcee. Some even accused her of pretending to enjoy singlehood to save face, advising her to return to her ex. What's really unfortunate is when people project their life onto you and make it their truth, says Mowry. It will rock me for a minute, but then I will move through it because I realize at the end of the day, it really has nothing to do with me. On her reality show, Mowry was seen sharing laughs with her assistant, trying speed dating for the first time, and flipping through Raya profiles with friends. There were also scenes in which she shed tears with the women she calls her found family over the realities of doing life solo. There are moments when it just gets too heavy, Mowry admits. There are moments when you feel like you can't breathe. There are moments when you feel like you're underwater, but that is when you can't be afraid to ask for help. That is when you can't be embarrassed to share with your community what you're going through. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to my best friend who has known me since I was 12. She has seen my evolution in the purest and rawest form, and I would turn to her whenever I would feel like I was drowning, and she would tell me, "Tia, you have come so far." Mowry has also leaned on her core family, including her twin sister, Mowry Housley, and her sister-in-law, Zandy Mowry, who is married to her brother, Javier. There's this special bond that we will always have that will never leave us, Mowry says of her sister, clarifying previous comments that the two weren't as close as they used to be. What I meant by that was, she's not as accessible to me as she used to be. That's a part of life. Change is constant, she adds, but change does not mean that something is wrong. Embracing impermanence has been a cornerstone of Mowry's courage amid such a major life transition. There's a quote from this book that I read called Brave New You, a roadmap to believing that more is possible, by Corey Allen, and It Stays With Me, Stay Curious, Present, and Unattached. That's how I'm moving through life right now, she explains, meaning time is borrowed, my children's time with me is borrowed, my life is borrowed, my therapist helped me with this perspective. She said, when you know that you are borrowing something, you treat it differently. When Maori thinks back to the woman she was 2 years ago, scared about the future, she sees a completely different person than the one she is now. I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with where I am in my life, she says. I have so much gratitude. I am more present. I used to live in the past, and I used to live in the future, always trying to plan what my life should look like. But now, because I've learned about change, that no matter what you do, no matter how hard you plan, no matter how hard you work, change will always happen. I've been meditating on living in gratitude with where I am now, what's in front of me, and I've never lived in that state of mind before. Part of that includes being genuinely happy to be single and putting aside the relationship apps for a bit. Solitude is where the magic happens, Maori says of taking a break from dating. I've been reading books and learning more about what love is. I want to learn more about myself, my triggers, why I behave the way I behave, what are my traumas, what are my attachment styles, learn more about what love really is before I get out there again. What might seem like a small epiphany is a huge declaration for a woman who was taught to believe that her purpose in life was to please a man. My purpose in life now is to continue to build a relationship with me. Maori says, we have a lot of podcasts, movies, and all of that about loving partners, but that's not the only dynamic of love. Love is also found when you love on yourself. The next article is titled 100 Years of Black Women in Sports. Meet the fiercely talented African-American women athletes who have made an undeniable mark on the last century, and learn how we will continue to revolutionize sports in the decades to come. In August 1925, an up-and-coming 27-year-old tennis player named Ora Washington upset 25-year-old Isadora Izzy Channels, who had dominated the 1920s black tennis scene. By the 1930s, Washington was considered one of the greatest to play tennis and basketball. Washington and Channels are two of countless black women athletes who have excelled in sports over the past 100 years. Throughout the last century, black women have blocked shots and served aces. They have integrated leagues and teams and elevated a wide range of sports, creating new paths and shaping change. They have blazed all these trails while confronting stereotypes and also the policing of their bodies, their sexuality, and how they chose to present themselves, says Amira Rose Davis, PhD, a historian and an assistant professor in the African and African Diaspora Studies Department at the University of Texas, Austin. Davis's work centers on the intersections of race, gender, and sports, with an emphasis on black women athletes. Even though they have opportunities to participate in play, Davis says Black women in sports are constantly being scrutinized about how they do it and what they look like while doing it. This helps to explain why so many successful Black women athletes are not household names and not given the due respect of their white female or even Black male counterparts. Despite these challenges, Black women continue to compete, take up space, to create opportunities for themselves and others. Black women are experts at becoming their own advocates because they have to be, Davis says. The story of Black women in sports navigating those obstacles is the same as that of Black women in many fields in American society, which is they have no choice but to be themselves unapologetically and advocate for what they need, explains Davis. That's because, oftentimes, historically speaking, there have been no other people to advocate for them. So many game-changing Black women athletes exist. They won't all fit in one article. There are some standout moments, though, from the last 100 years. The 1930s was Ora Washington's decade. She was the American Tennis Association singles champion from 1929 to 1935. Lula Ballard took the crown in 1936. The next year, Washington regained her singles title at the 1937 National Championships hosted at storied HBCU Tuskegee Institute, now Tuskegee University. Tuskegee invested in Black women's athletes early in the 20th century. Former football player and coach Clive L. Abbott launched the women's track and field program in 1937. His wife, Jessie Abbott, was equally influential. Along with helping build the program, she helped the team navigate traveling to competitions throughout the South, no easy task due to Jim Crow segregation laws. I invented a way of sometimes serving a hot meal, Jessie said in 1977 during an interview for the Black Women Oral History Project. We would buy baked beans and I would set them on the hot radiators of the car and they would heat, so the team would have something hot to eat. Also in the 1930s, Tide Pickett and Lewis Stokes became the first Black women selected for the U.S. Olympic track and field team. They were sprinters chosen for the 1932 Summer Games in Los Angeles as alternates. They were expected to compete in the 4x100 relay and were even listed as two of the runners, but they were replaced at the last minute. While no official reason was given, it was widely speculated that their race was the cause of this change. Pickett eventually made her debut at the 1936 Games in Berlin, though there were only two Black women on the U.S. team in 1932. By 1948, 9 of the 11 members of the track and field team were Black. At those games, Audrey Patterson of Tennessee State University, another HBCU, won bronze in the 200-meter race and became the first Black woman to win an Olympic medal. One day later, Alice Coachman won the high jump, becoming the first Black woman to win Olympic gold. My event was the last event in 48 Olympics, Coachman said in 1985 in an interview for the documentary Black Champions. And when I walked out there, it was 85,000 people waiting. And when I walked out there, I said, Lord, if it's your will, it will be done. And I didn't worry about nothing else. In the 1950s, black women athletes made great strides. Multiple women played on men's teams in the Negro baseball leagues, with Toni Stone possibly the most famous. In 1953, she signed a contract and became the first woman to be a regular on a team. In 1957, Althea Gibson won Wimbledon in what is now the U.S. Open, the first black player to do so. A year later, she successfully defended both titles. My style of play, I believe, was aggressive, dynamic, and mean, she said in a 1984 interview for Black Champions. I consider it a great education to travel around the world as I did, being the first black female tennis champion of the world to have this privilege. In 1955, Philander Smith University, also an HBCU, was home to the first all-black team to compete in the Amateur Athletic Union, AAU, Women's Basketball Tournament. One of the AAU's star players, Missouri Arledge, was the first black woman to be named an All-American in basketball. Meanwhile, in 1960, sprinter Wilma Rudolph, who had overcome childhood polio, became the first American woman to win 3 gold medals in an Olympics. And Wyoming Tyus was the first person to win back-to-back 100-meter races, both women built on track and field successes of previous decades, and helped establish a thriving Tennessee state program. With the passage of Title IX in 1972, which promoted equality for women in education and sports, more opportunities opened up for black women athletes. In 1974, Flo Hyman received the University of Houston's first athletic scholarship offered for women's sports. She would go on to win an Olympic silver medal in 1984 as part of the U.S. women's volleyball team. The 1980s saw continued success for black women in sports like track and field and basketball, and they were making their mark in newer areas as well. Debbie Thomas became a world champion and an Olympic medalist for figure skating, while Bonnie St. John won 2 bronze medals in 1984 as a member of the U.S. Paralympic ski team. A brilliant moment for black women athletes occurred at the 1996 Summer Olympics held in Atlanta. There, Dominique Dawes earned gold as a member of the Magnificent Seven gymnastics team. She also won bronze in the floor exercise and in the first Olympics that included women's soccer. Brianna Scurry helped push her sport forward by helping her team win gold. Just a few miles away from those Olympic Games, Pat Achia Hartman grew up playing basketball in College Park. In 2001, she graduated from high school and began at Georgia State University, where she set records. Eventually, her college jersey was retired. Around the same time, Venus and Serena Williams were emerging as tennis stars. The sisters would become bona fide legends in their sports, making it more inclusive. Venus notably advocated for equal pay at Wimbledon. Hartman took notice of the Williams mindset and mental strength, which she read about in interviews. They shared other similarities. Hartman, like the Williams sisters, faced backlash and harassment simply for being a black woman who played sports. For Serena to go into arenas where nobody looked like her was the same as me playing basketball with guys when nobody looked like me, Hartman says. For her to be a muscular, strong woman and sit in that in scrutiny was the same way that I grew up, because I am extremely fit, extremely muscular woman. Hartman retired at 38 after 12 years of professional basketball and is now an assistant coach for her alma mater. These days, she tries to instill discipline, confidence, and a strong mindset in her players. She aims to return the love she got from her coaches and to prepare her players for life and success through basketball. Other black women athletes are also looking to positively influence the next generation. Allyson Felix is one. The most decorated athlete in the history of track and field, Felix launched a shoe brand for women, Sash, after facing discrimination during her pregnancy. Felix also launched a women's sports management firm and, after nearly dying in childbirth, became a fierce advocate for black maternal health and health care in the United States. Today, black women athletes can be seen on national television and at professional, local, and college level, competing in a wide range of sports. In swimming, Simone Manuel became the first African American woman to achieve an individual medal, winning in the 100-meter freestyle at the 2016 Olympics. In softball, Natasha Watley, a two-time Olympian, won gold in 2004 and silver in 2008 with the U.S. National Softball League World Series. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.